Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason. This is Josh Nason's Punch Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. November edition of the Pro Wrestling Year in Review series has arrived a little bit later than I was hoping due to some scheduling issues. I mean, look, Christmas and New Year's being on Wednesdays, it's hard to find people. So I moved up my December guest to November, that being the great Paul Fontaine of this very website, also Fight Game Media. He and I talked for well over an hour, I think 90 minutes or so, about all about the month of November. Fun conversation from Survivor Series to Full Gear to the announcement of Tanahashi's final opponent and all kinds of things in between. We talk all about the wrestling world in the month of November with a little bit of perspective, and I think you'll enjoy it. So let's get right to it. Myself and Paul Fontaine talking all about the month of November in the Josh Nason's Punch-Out Pro Wrestling Year Interview Series. Enjoy. November, the month we'll always remember, I guess, something like that, in this year interview series, which is coming to a close. We have a December course to finish. We're wrapping up in November and helping me once again, returning for, I think it's 3,038th time, the one and only Paul Fontaine, who of this website does all, vast majority of the Rings reports, also does the Dynamite. Oh my God, now I'm completely blank. I should have wrote the notes. The podcast name about the Dynamite.
The Dynamite Show, yeah, Dynamite on the Fight Game Media Network. And I'm also doing regularly on Wrestling Observer Radio with the UFC reports after the pay-per-views. Trying to get on the regular podcast network. I'll keep trying. Eventually, one day. One day when everyone's moved to some other medium, I'll end up on podcast.
Exactly. I'll be on Tout or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'll move over there. But Paul joined me for, was it last year the first time the wrestling series, or has it been the last 2 years?
I believe it was last year, because I think we ended the MMA series in 2023.
Yeah.
Last year I would have been on for the first time on this one, which I've always listened to, and I think you put in a phenomenal amount of work putting all this stuff together and get some great guests throughout the month of December reviewing the year.
Yeah. I used to do 12 of these and then 4 year interviews of the MMA with you, 16 shows in like a month and a half. I still
done 16 in the year prior to that.
I had done a few. Yeah, they were sparse.
Exactly. You're a lot more active this year, though. You had a lot of cool guests this year.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. Yeah. A good run. And
I saw your boy Cashflow was on an OVW show last weekend.
Yes. 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 Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm the only person that knows him more as Cashflow than as his Tulsa King character.
Exactly.
I've never watched Tulsa King, but I know Cashflow, and I marked out when he showed up on OVW television. And it was pretty cool.
It was funny because when I saw him on Tulsa King, I'm like, the first thing I thought was, I'm like, that guy looks awful familiar. And anytime it's just a big guy in one of these shows, I'm always like, they must have some sort of wrestling background or something, you know what I mean? And then I'm just like, oh, okay. And then, I tried to get him for 6 months or so. And he and I had emailed back and forth a lot. And I think he was just so busy, we couldn't lock in a time. And I'm just kind of like, just let me know, I'm available. And then finally I went through Paramount PR because I figured that was a more official way to do it. And it was part of this tour. So yeah, I got 10, 12 minutes, something like that. So
I thought that was a really fun interview. I liked it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's all these things. You know, when you talk to some of these people, it's all about, you ask questions about how engaged are they, and that's why I try to ask different stuff, you know, and not like when I talked to Dave LaGreca from Busted Open, and like, I don't want to say, oh, how'd you get your start in radio? You know, I listened to a podcast and before and kind of try to figure out some stuff. And yeah, it's, you try to ask stuff that don't get asked all the time, or else they're just going to go into that same mode. Same thing, wrestling interviews and wrestlers and all that stuff. Like, oh, where'd you get started? And, you know, just all the normal stuff you hear. If you do a little bit of research, makes for a better show, I find.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was fun. I'm sure he liked talking about wrestling for a change.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, let's get into the month of November. Of course, it's your first time here. I'd be surprised because there's been 10 of these shows so far this year. Every single month, a new focus, a new month, and new topics to talk about with a new guest. So this month, we'll start out with AEW because that's how I arranged these on this Google Doc here. I went through 608 headlines through the month for WrestlingObserver.com. That's how I do these. And boy, it is I'd say it's a labor of love. It's a labor of not hate. It's just sometimes in between, depending on the time of year and all that. But I got this done. And so AEW, of course, had Full Gear, which had, let's see, we had a few things on this show. And of course, led into a lot of stuff with World's End and so on and so forth. We'll talk about in December. But we had Paul White, the Big Show, still under AEW contract, even though we really haven't seen him on TV or anything like that, doing a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff and media appearances and charity and things like that. Made an appearance during the Tailgate Brawl portion of the show. FTR regained the AEW Women's World Tag Team titles. Ricochet won the inaugural AEW National title, and AEW's continued push to have everyone have a title at some point at the same time. The Timeless Love Bombs won essentially tournament stipulation rights for their semifinal match, which turned out to be a holiday hardcore match. Very random, of course. Mark Briscoe winning the TNT title, defeating Kyle Fletcher. The Young Bucks reunited with Kenny Omega as the reformation of the Elite started to really take shape. And then Samoa Joe won the AEW World title for the second time, defeating Hangman Page in a cage match at the end of the show. Hook returned again, turned heel. And then also Swerve Strickland made his surprise return at the end of all this as well. It's kind of one of these classic AEW just say, here's this, and then there's this, and then there's this, and there's this, and you don't really have a lot of time to really kind of take everything in, and you have to suspend your belief a little bit for how is this sequence happening, and why is this person coming out this time, and all this. But at the end of the day, we had a new world champion. We had Swerve Strickland back, the Elite forming, some other title changes. And overall, yeah, I wouldn't say my favorite AEW show of the year, but to me, all these pay-per-views are always solid, and I rarely come away from them saying, "Oh wow, they're not good." And in this case, this was definitely the case here.
Yeah, I'd actually agree pretty much with that last part you said. The wrestling is always great for the most part. Like they've always got three or four just unbelievable matches. And then everything else, there's usually nothing bad, but what I found is, you know, Tony likes to do these shows with like, you know, 10 to 14 matches on them. And really like it, literally every single time I could say going in and certainly coming out, man, if you had just had this, and this, and maybe this, you would have had the pay-per-view of the year. But because you decided to add this, it just became a slog to get through. And there's a lot of stuff on there that didn't really need to be on a pay-per-view that was no better than what you get on a normal Dynamite. Certainly on this pay-per-view, a lot happened. Unlike the one we had, last weekend with World's End where, you know, like a lot of great matches and yeah, we did get a new world champion, but other than that, like no returns, no churns, just a show, you know, really good show, but not their best. And this one, we got lots of stuff. And I wasn't a fan of a lot of the creative, but I can't say that he didn't try and give people things. You know, I thought, you know, Mark Briscoe and Kyle Fletcher for the TNT title was, you know, probably the most memorable thing on the show for me. And it just continued the great year that Kyle Fletcher had, making a late case for most outstanding wrestler, in my opinion. Paul White on the Tailgate Brawl was kind of out of nowhere, but it was fun. And, Ricochet winning that national title, I think, I don't know, I certainly thought the second they announced that title and he was in the first promo segment surrounding it, I thought, okay, that's his belt, and sure enough, that's what happened. So a lot of, you know, nobody predicted Samoa Joe winning, and I almost feel like they did it. That's the reason why they did it. I don't know. Hook turning heel, who cares? And Swerve coming back was, I mean, he was missed. And it was like Swerve times 1.8, you know, like 80% bigger than he was when he left. Certainly a welcome return.
We also say if it's a welcome return, but I think a welcome exit, depending on where you were on this story. Very strange one. Just kind of happens on at these tapings and so on. But we had Nixon Newell and Miranda Alize. Is it Alize or Alize? Do you know?
I think it's Alize.
Alize. We'll call it Alize. Yeah. Alize. Walked out prior to edition of AEW Collision. They were set to be in a tag team match. This was their second, set to be their second match in after making a surprise appearance backstage and so on. And it was all these stories about what happened. And essentially what happened, the story we've got is, at least at a time where they didn't, they were set to take on, I think it was Anna Jay and Ty Mello, correct? This was the match originally was supposed to have, because initially they took on Megan Bain and Rhea Shafir and got squashed in like 3 minutes. And so they were set to have this other tag team match, and they were fine with losing, but it was going to be a shorter match, and they didn't really want to do that, and they said, we're out. And then that was that. And so Alize had posted something like on X or Instagram or something, essentially saying like, I got stories to tell or something like this. And then Nixon Newell later saying, yeah, there's no bad blood on either side following the walkout. Brian Danielson's a story about him getting involved kind of in this controversy, probably talking to them backstage or so on. And it was just a strange story. It just kind of took a life of its own. Obviously, Nixon Newell, the former Tegan Knox in WWE. And it was just a thing of there was not a wrestling on social media is very tribal. There was not a lot of like pro Newell Alize stuff out there. It was all kind of like, why did you not just, why, you know, essentially kind of like, why did you do that? Why did you walk out? And it was just a, you know, Nixon Newell later in this, this Twitch stream, whatever, kind of said, you know, I don't have, she essentially said, I have like 2 years left in the business and I want to have fun. But you think if you're going to have only 2 years left, you want to work in a place where you could make some money and also be able to work indies, which AEW allows their talent to do. It was just, everything's just very strange. Neither of them have hooked on anywhere else since. And it's just kind of this like black cloud over them. And it's not really great if your you know, primary income, or at least a major part of it, is wrestling. And people don't seem to want to work for you. You know, it's a very strange story.
Yeah. So, I mean, when this happened, we actually got a lot of positive feedback for the Dynamite show on our take on this, because we were one of the ones that did talk about the side of Newell and Alize. And really, like, if you look at it from their perspective, and especially Nixon Newell, now you said 2 years. I think the 2 years includes this year. So like 2026 was going to be her last year.
Oh, yeah.
So in that sense, like, obviously she wants to be in a company where she can be on national television and get a showcase, which helps her indie name, but probably not interested in signing long-term with AEW. And from the AEW side, well, why would they want to sign somebody who is going to be leaving in a year? You know, the other thing that you didn't mention, and I don't know if you saw the match that they had on Collision with Bain and Ford, but they spent, you know, the good portion of the time that they were in the ring trying to get over their own characters and getting over the fact that they're a couple in real life. So they were hugging and kissing and, you know, and just like, and that's not their role. You know, like the role that they were brought in to do, enhancement does not mean enhance yourself. It means enhance the opponents that you're in the ring with. And they were there to put over Penelope Ford and Megan Bain and not Penelope Ford, but Maria Shafir.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in that sense, like, I think Brian Alvarez had reported, people were surprised that they were even brought back. Like, because after that performance where they didn't really do what they were asked to do, then they were brought back to have that match that they had advertised with Jay, you know, TJ. And then, of course, you know, they heard about the creative and they're like, no, we're not interested. And they walked out. And the beneficiaries of all this are Hyann and Maya World,
yes,
who got brought in to replace them. And now they're seemingly on TV every week. And I think I read last week they got signed.
Yes,
so,
they did.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, you know, Newell and Alize's loss is their gain. So good for them. I mean, I've seen enough of them to think, I mean, they're not going to be game changers or anything, but I'm glad that they, you know, that they got hired. And actually, I do like a Hyann. I think she's got some potential, you know, long-term down the road, but I mean, they're very, very early, like NXT, you know, early NXT kind of evolve almost, like that's where the level they're at. So, but you know, AEW needs to sign people like that. So yeah, it was a weird story. As you said, and you know, like even Brian Danielson, you know, I don't know why he felt the need to poke his nose in, but he did. And yeah, it's you know, and I think on the as in certainly in terms of the Newell and Alizé thing, I think it's kind of everyone's moved on from that, unless she brings it up again, Newell, in one of her live streams. But hopefully they get some indie work in 2026 and she goes out the way she wants to.
Yeah, I think that Bane Shafir match, wasn't that the one where she had a tough time getting them both over for like an overhead double suplex? Yep. I remember talking, hearing about that and seeing that. And yeah, that was what a
and they were just like, why did Tony even bring them back? But I know him, and he likes, like, if he advertises something, he likes to try and deliver it. Mm-hmm. And he had done that promo segment where the Sisters of Sin had put out like kind of like an open challenge, and you know, Newell just and Alizé just showed up backstage and like, we'll take it. So I think he just wanted to deliver on that match. I don't know why the next week it was Shafir and Bane. I guess he wanted to get that team over because they were going in the tournament.
I think the original one was TJ. Remember they showed up and then they didn't do that match right away.
Right. Yeah.
It was very strange. Yeah. It was just a weird. Yeah,
and I think that's why, because they had the replacement team, because you remember Penelope Ford got injured. And actually even my podcast partner, Jeff Hawkins, thought that they might bring in Newell and Alizé as replacements for Penelope Ford and Megan Bain. But then they decided to do Megan Bain and Marina Shafir. Mm. So, and that's probably why they did that match. Maybe in kayfabe, it was like an eliminator match to get in the tournament. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then we also had Blood and Guts, the annual show. Not only one, but two double cage matches, the women finally getting their opportunity. And so on the men's side, the baby faces won, the heels won on the, of course, the women's side, the finish with Marie Shafir having Mia Shirakawa in the mother's milk, with Megan Bain whipping her back with a belt as Toni Storm was being held back, watched on, led some further stuff. That was a good ending. I mean, that chair shot that Bain threw at Jamie Hayter's face, just unbelievable. But yeah, a lot of the usual kind of violence and so on and so forth. But yeah, the women finally getting their opportunity. Ric Flair was supposed to appear at this event, did not, at least on the broadcast. He appeared before the show, and he had had apparently a rotator cuff injury, and he decided to go out without his sling. He doesn't want to show it. He was in a lot of pain, had to leave early, so he couldn't appear in person. However, Ricky Steamboat did during this in-ring promo with FTR. And, of course, the event being held in Greensboro, North Carolina, a lot of history there. And then afterwards in an interview, this guy got picked up quite a bit that he didn't care for the women's Blood and Guts match. But, yeah, overall was, yeah, I mean, kind of what you expected, two solid cage matches. And, you know, with all these, this came up earlier in the series about hoping that the matches and the angles and the stories lead to Blood and Guts rather than kind of what WWE used to do with Hell in the Cell, which is it's always on this date and we have to figure out something there. So hopefully Blood and Guts, it's always this where it makes sense. I think for the most part, for both of these, it made sense with kind of how they're going. But you're always, you know, with they had Full Gear coming up after this and they have all these different things going on. It's it was one of those things that they wanted to do. It made sense. But I think sometimes they really kind of try to pack things in these last like 2 months to really just have like no slowdown at all. But overall, you know, solid show.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because they did, I think it was like 6 weeks earlier. I mean, the week they put tickets on sale, they shot an angle on Collision at the end of the show where it was like two women, two baby faces, three heels. I can't remember exactly which ones. I think Tekla was involved.
And Queen Amanada and Jamie Hayter, right? They were the ones that kind of issued the chat. Yeah, and then was,
Three words can settle this: Blood and Guts. And then like Tony Schiavone instantly, or are we gonna have that on Wednesday? And then like Tony Khan must have gotten his ear and it's like, no, it's not Wednesday. You know, and then that was the last we heard of it until like the week before, and then all of a sudden they were booking teams. And so that was kind of weird, whereas the men's I felt was more kind of naturally evolved to where, okay, clearly they're gonna have a Blood and Guts match. But they hadn't actually said they were going to have a Blood and Guts match. It wasn't until, I think, a week and a half before that they even announced the men were going to have a match.
Right.
Because I remember even at the press conference, I think it was to promote, it was on the October pay-per-view. Somebody asked, oh, is there going to be a men's Blood and Guts?
Yeah,
and Tony's like, oh, that's an interesting thought. Yeah. You know, and it's like, you know, the way he answers everything.
Whenever he says interesting thought, it always means he's thinking about it or it's happening, or they're definitely considering it, yeah.
Or it's already happening, but he just doesn't want to say
sure.
it. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it was here, clearly. Because I remember at the time, I know a few people that are inside, and it's like, yeah, there's going to be a men's match. And it's like, oh, okay. Interesting that they haven't told us. But he's like, well, they've told you. And I'm like, no, they haven't. But yeah, both matches were great. I mean, you know, you didn't mention the finish of the men's match was Kyle O'Reilly submitting John Moxley, yes. Which, I mean, that set off a pretty interesting month for old Mr. Moxley, to where I don't even know what happened in December. And you'll talk about that with your next guest. But it certainly was memorable and definitely a great closing of the year for AEW. But this kind of kicked off, you know, the Continental Classic season. And I did enjoy both Blood and Guts match. And then you also had the pretty awesome Powerhouse Hobbs and Hangman Page
False Count
match
anywhere.
on that same show. Yeah. So that was one of the better shows they did all year, honestly.
Yeah. The cage, it's funny. You're talking about the cage match. I also remember too, you know, it's like they announced the Samoa Joe Hangman Page cage match. It's like, yes. Oh, we just saw it. And usually those things are kind of spread apart. So you just for logical sense, whatever. And they didn't do that. It's kind of like we're going right back in there, but it's a much different cage match. So like, if you didn't get your fill, you're going to get it again in a couple of weeks on pay-per-view.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's go with this first chunk of AEW / Ring of Honor stuff. And I'll kick it over to you for thoughts about any of this. Hologram recovering following knee surgery. Will Ospreay, there's an update on him, I believe from his chiropractor or one of his doctors, which it's always kind of funny to have doctors. It's clearly they want to get this out there because he's not just going to be like, hey, this guy's doing great. He's going to be back. But looking like potentially early 2026, of course, we'll kind of see about that. And certainly don't want to have Will Ospreay rush back and screw anything up. You know, take your time coming back and make sure that career is as long as possible. In the, I believe this was the debut podcast for CJ Perry's new podcast, Rusev/Miro said he did not refuse to do jobs in AEW. Tony Khan actually talked about this during that aforementioned media call. Tony Khan said that he and Miro at times had different visions of things during AEW run, during his run there. So that's a good way of saying, a very Tony Khan way of saying we didn't agree on what was happening. AEW no longer had a training ring in Florida following a move to Nashville, which I don't know. The Nashville move kind of threw me because I was always like Asheville, you know, and yeah. I had to double check this, but like, no, it's Nashville. I guess they had a training ring or they moved there. So apparently there's something going on there. I don't know if it's associated with the Edge or Adam Copeland, FTR stuff, but I believe they all live in Asheville, which is not near Nashville, in a different state completely. So there you go. Brian Cage underwent a knee surgery, so he'll be back maybe at some point in 2026. Tony Khan says he's not worried at all about the potential WBD sale. We'll see. I think we're a long ways away from seeing how all this stuff settles out. Darby Allin confirmed his skate park project with Tony Hawk. I received county approval. Dustin Rhodes targeting a March return to the ring after getting double knee surgery. However, he also needs double shoulder surgery. So Dustin Rhodes, who knows if he'll be back. AEW, as you mentioned, announced the creation of the national title. Reveal that obviously be determined, which is that Casino Gauntlet match at Full Gear. The NWA champion, I believe Mike Mondo is his name, responded to AEW creating this national title because they have a national title. Later on, Tony Khan said he talked to Billy Corgan about the title. Said it was a different lineage and all that. And the title looks nearly identical to the NWA one, which is just kind of just a weird, weird thing there. Queen Amanad, not clear for any match. She was pulled from the Blood and Guts match. And yeah, she's been out essentially ever since. Company reportedly interested in Zeta Steel. They would bring her in December. Of course, she is formerly of the WWE ID program. Anthony Henry says he's suffering from a condition called heterotopic ossification, where he has trouble moving his arm and palms based on an injury they had early in the year in 2025. They say he's getting surgery for that and hopefully be better. Eddie Kingston announced his final indie run. I believe that begins in 2026. AEW filed for a series of new trademarks, Fire, Blitz, Tidal Wave, Firestorm, and Watch AEW. Watch AEW is the one that most people kind of caught their eye on, maybe just kind of getting that because they have Watch ROH, but we'll see what happens there. MVP gave some updates on his future. He said he signed an extension with the company, so he'll be around for a few more years. He also said, Paul, he invented the idea for New Japan World. Imagine that, a place where people can go online to watch wrestling from one promotion with a subscription. He invented it, so how about that?
Yeah.
Jim Ross said he'll be back on AEW commentary, quote-unquote, in the next few weeks. Rebel, diagnosed with pulmonary lymphoma. The company announced they were going to be heading to Arlington for a Texas residency, which is going to kick off 2026, and actually in just a couple days. Comedy announced their return for the Hammerstein Ballroom for their Christmas shows. And then Samojo's Twisted Metal and Peacock renewed for a third season. So at some point, he'll be out of AEW. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, the Texas residency is tomorrow.
Yes,
actually, we're recording. A lot there. Some of this stuff is like I'm hearing for the first time. I guess I'm not on 4W enough to see some of these headlines. A couple of things that caught my eye. Tony not being worried about the potential Warner Brothers deal. I do believe that a lot of the comments that he's made and some of the actions that he's taken since he made those comments are maybe says that he may not have been 100% truthful there. Because I think they definitely are worried, and they do have to take some precautions because nobody knows what's going to happen if that company splits or if it goes to Netflix. It's not like they're going to get canceled immediately, but certainly that 2028 option is not the rubber stamp that people might have thought it was going to be. Other thing here that caught me, Dustin Rhodes returning. That surprises me that it's going to be that soon. I kind of thought he'd be out at least a year. this thing about Zeta Steele is funny because she appeared on ROH and then they did that conference call for Full Gear and somebody asked him, is she signed? And Tony would not answer the question. Like he wouldn't just say no. Or yes, he just, went on to say, well, she had a match and she looked really good. And now she's challenged this person and they're going to have a match this coming week and blah, 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 blah. And it was really weird. And then she wrestled again. And then we haven't seen her since. So I assume she's not signed, but I don't know. And then they brought in Bryce Donovan as well, which, that'll be next month. So you'll probably mention that. But another WWID talent. Both of them were in the Vanity Project, which was pretty heavily pushed on Evolve and even made it to NXT. And then they just dropped Zeta. I believe the reason was they wanted her, they wanted to keep her, but they only wanted to offer her like that, ID deal, which is very small money, like maybe 10 grand. And she figured she could do better on the indies and she's probably right. So yeah. Interesting. And then the other, MVP, again, that was one that one's new to me, but I have my doubts. I'll just say that.
As do most people. Let's go through this other chunk of AEW/Ring of Honor. Tony Khan had an interview, and I think we got eight different. Oh, this is the Errol Helwani interview. We got six different stories out of this because he was actually asked real questions and actually answered some. He was asked about WWE counter programming them. He said it hasn't cost us anything. He addresses this really stupid rumor about Adam Copeland being one of the essentially the final opponent for John Cena. I don't know why everyone seemed to make this a thing because he walked off during All Out. He said he's going to take some time off. He was doing he's filming stuff. And everyone said, he's going to go back to WWE and be the last opponent. It's like, no. Like, people just say they suspend their belief of how contracts work when it fits them. It's like, this would be so great. They should just let him do it. And it's like, no, it's not. Now, A, if this works. Tony Khan said he would felt it had to be the right situation for Adam Cole to wrestle again. And I thought that was a pretty honest answer and not trying to sugarcoat stuff. And he talked about everyone would have to be on board with it and there'd be a lot of precautions beforehand. And so we'll see if that happens. He talked about potential AEW interest in Killer Cross and Scarlett. And without saying he wasn't interested, he said he wasn't interested, Yeah. And he kind of tried to play it off and be polite, but Killer Cross was supposed to come in. He was being talked about coming in during that. What was the MJF series with Wardlow? Or there was this,
the seven labors of Cody or whatever.
They did Jericho. The Jericho one. And so he was supposed to come in, and that ended up being a Big Bill instead. Then that's where Will Morrissey.
Morrissey.
And so he came, and that was his debut. And that was originally offered to Killer Cross. They're like, they couldn't come to an agreement on a deal and worry about coming in on a loss and all that stuff. And I had to think maybe that was just kind of in the back of Tony Khan's mind and all that, but we'll see. He gave an update on AEW Shockwave, speak NWA, saying that no Shockwave show anytime soon or ever when it comes to that. They officially announced Continental Classic, the start date, the participants. Scorpio Sky banged up his elbow during AEW Dynamite match, but ended up turning out to be okay. There was a clarification. This really strange end to the Shelton Benjamin Mike Bailey match when essentially they did the finish twice, and there was there a kick out? Wasn't there a kick out? All this. So he clarified on that. Jamie Hayter's in-ring return was announced. Of course, her first match back. It would be in the Indies, but she also would appear on AEW TV again following that chair shot right to the face. Tony Khan said no plans to wrestle Dynasty in January, and really was kind of non-committal in terms of if that would happen again. He talked about the process for Tanahashi versus Okada when they started talking about it, which I believe he said was during the summertime. I never thought that Nakamura was ever going to get a shot at this. That would have been just not the insult of all insults, but New Japan's a partner of theirs. Essentially, it's New Japan saying, we're not interested anymore if that had happened.
Yeah.
And to me, I thought about the time, like, I think when they started talking about that, I'm like, why wouldn't they just have Okada? Since he works with a partner, he was in New Japan, and this was a great rivalry, and that's how it turned out. So how about that? The first news started breaking about Anna Jay's contract being up. Potentially see she could be on her way out. She would remain. We'll see. Kenny Omega says he's thinking about a lot about the timing of his retirement, which I don't think people love to hear that. AEW's live events marketing director announced his departure. Tony Khan said he hopes that Chris Jericho's final matches will happen in AEW. I don't think that will happen at any time. Let's see. We also had it was announced that AEW Collision would not go head-to-head with Saturday night's main event. It would air earlier in the day. Of course, that'd be the John Cena's final match. Saturday night's main event in December. Tony Chimmel, formerly of WWE fame, says he's no longer working for AEW. And most people are like, you were working for AEW? A lot of people didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I saw him at one of the Boston shows, just kind of sitting on the floor, and someone actually pointed out, is that Tony Chimmel? Like, what
it's
is
like
that?
A Rita Chatterton thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, scouting, all that scouting she was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Brody Lee Jr. clarified his AEW contract status and that he can sign a full deal when he's 18. But he also has a deal that when he turns 18, he has to fight Jon Moxley in a death match. So he's not sure which one he's going to go with. So there's that. The former Caden Carter signed with AEW/Ring of Honor. Thunder Rosa announced a split from her husband after 14 years. Ring of Honor's final battle for 2025, sorry, for December, took shape. The women's TV title was unified in Collision from Boston. Mercedes Moné defeating Red Velvet in a unification that would not last very long. Roosh undergoing knee surgery, and Jalisco also likely undergo surgery for his ears. And the Ring of Honor tag team titles were vacated due to the Rush injury, and plans for new champions were revealed, of course, to be crowned at Final Battle. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, a lot there. The Anna Jay contract expiration is funny because that was right around the time of that Alizé Newell stuff. And then, you know, they had that match and then with Hyun and World, and then we've never seen Anna Jay since.
No.
So I thought that was weird. And then we find out why, because Tony's not sure if she's going to resign, so he doesn't want to put her on TV. Okay, at least he's consistent.
I don't see her as a WWE signee.
Well, I do, because
just because they have so many. The problem is they have so many women now, and they keep signing all these college kids, and like that's the only reason. I mean, I think she could go there, but it's. I mean, to her, I mean, TNA would be like, if she wasn't going to stick around AEW, TNA would be good, or just go live in Japan for, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. But yeah, that run started. I'm sorry to interrupt.
But it's probably about it's probably about the money. And, you know, and she's probably used to making a certain amount of money. And so whether or not Tony is going to re-sign her for that amount, or if she thinks she can get more from WWE, but I can't imagine, as you say, she's probably not signing for anything more than an NXT deal. So maybe $100,000 if she's lucky. And, you know, if you're on the AEW main roster and you've been there since day one, you're making more than $100,000. So, you know, and that may be where they're at. Maybe it's a money thing, you know, or maybe, you know, maybe she's looking to go the Cora Jade route and, you know, Mandy Rose and maybe go into OnlyFans. Like, I don't know. Like, that's pure speculation on my part. But I mean, those women make a lot of money. And that's a lot easier than taking bumps. Caden Carter signing was funny because I mean, I thought she had that match with Mercedes that I thought wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And then she had another match like in ROH that was actually pretty good. And I thought, you know what, she could probably work here. And then I haven't seen her since. Like since the day she signed, I've not seen her. So I don't know. You know, and that seems to happen a lot. I don't know if you've noticed that.
It does all the time. All the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the final battle was interesting because, you know, like, you know, I watch it every week. I'm one of the few people that actually watches it. And it was like, I'm watching. Finally, I canceled because I was like, there's nothing happening on this show. And then they announced Final Battle, and I thought, oh, it looks like a good card, but I canceled. I'm not gonna sign up. And then they sent me a free month. They're like, oh, sign up, come back, free month. And I'm like, okay. So my free month is about to end, and I'm not re-signing. So if they want to give me another free month, I'll stay with it. But I'm not paying for matches that should be on YouTube. And that's just, yeah.
Yeah, the show should be on YouTube. It should be YouTube.
It should. It absolutely should be, yeah.
And there's no reason they can't be making that much money where they couldn't put it on YouTube, have more viewers, and maybe sell a few ads or something. I just look at like what WWE has done with AAA and just being able to expose that to the masses in a very easy form where people can watch anywhere at any time, and you don't make them pay. And that and Tony Khan has hinted at this a couple times of being like how, you know, they had that one show, Death Before Dishonor, there was issues with Bright Cove or whatever, and they put it on YouTube, and he keeps making these allusions that he likes being on YouTube for the show. So just do it. You know,
He's been doing these specials, and really all they're doing is splitting a regular show in half and putting half the matches on YouTube and half the matches on Honor Club. And that's fine. Like, it doesn't bother me, but it also led to my decision to cancel Honor Club because it's like, I can get enough free content that I don't need to subscribe to Honor Club. So, and then the pay-per-views are just, I mean, they're not as good as AEW pay-per-views and they're long as hell. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. So I'm not going to pay for that, but if it's free, I'll watch it for free.
And you can get the best of. I saw they put out like 8 hours of like their best of stuff from the year. So you don't you don't need it, because there's so, as you know, because you watch more wrestling, I think, than anyone I know. It is even more than
700 matches.
How many?
3,700.
Jeez. Oh my God, more than Dave. Yes.
I watch like 6 hours of UFC every weekend.
Oh my God. But yeah, if you can wait, then there's no, they put stuff up there all the time. So, Adam, let's go to the month in Japan. Hiroshi Tanahashi's opponent officially announced for Wrestle Kingdom 20, which is coming up this weekend. Kazuchika Okada. We talked about that. Kenosuke Takeshi versus Yuta Tsuji. Champion versus champion match coming up as well. Evil to defend the NEVER title against the much-discussed Aaron Wolf. In the beginning of the year, Dave Meltzer could have not been more excited about Aaron Wolf. And then all of a sudden, the past few months happened, and boy, it's like someone took his ice cream and just dropped on the ground. He is just like, oh boy. he is not high on Aaron Wolf as he used to be. We'll see what happens this weekend. Saya Kamatani's opponent revealed was Tsuri, a double title match for the IWGP Women's title and also the New Japan Strong Women's title will happen coming up this weekend. The seating configuration they had sold out. They're going to be adding more seats. They'll have quite a crowd there for the Tokyo Dome, of course, for Hiroshi Tanahashi's final match. The company crowned Super Junior League tag winners, Sho and Dookie. The company released their card, full card for Road and Anho. I will say in advance, both for when I talk about the Mexican promotions and Japanese promotions, my pronunciations are not great, so I'll just throw it out there. So feel free to laugh if I'm pronouncing this incorrectly. New Japan announced the teams for the 2025 World Tag League. All Japan star Yuma Aoyagi. We'll go with that.
Aoyagi?
Yes. Right. I apologize. Suspended for 3 months. Also got his pay cut temporarily due to his role in a traffic accident. Tetsuya Naito won his first title since his New Japan departure. The Singapore Pro Wrestling Southeast Asian Championship. Did you watch this match?
I did not, but I'm assuming that Mercedes has already put in her name to challenge for that belt.
Exactly. Yes. Coming to a country, a territory, a province near you to take your titles. And then Naito and Bushi had to cancel a weekend indie appearance as well, as their kind of a bizarre post-New Japan run continues. New Japan announced details for Fantastica Mania in 2026. A report came out that not all New Japan contracts are expiring in January. As led to believe that they have a lot of one-year deals, but not all of them were expiring in January. Hiroshi Tanahashi final homecoming, they had that show. Two title matches on the card, Tomohiro Ishii out of action with a dislocated shoulder. And then in Pro Wrestling Noah, Yoshiki Inamura won the GHC title. And Hank Tank of NXT fame won the tag titles, and then they lost them in the same month. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, the New Japan stuff, I watch that stuff pretty carefully. Like, I have New Japan World, so I watch most of the shows on there. So, you know, following this stuff pretty closely. One of my colleagues at Fight Game Media, I don't know if you know him, Jeremy Finestone. He's in Japan right now. He's going to Wrestle Kingdom, so he's pretty excited about that. I will say that the lineup for the show didn't exactly light my world on fire. I'd love to disagree with Dave about Aaron Wolf, but I can't. He just doesn't have it. I hopefully he finds it, because he's going to get a big push. But yeah, that guy, I mean, he makes Gable Steveson look like, you know, like Ric Flair, like, you know, in terms of charisma. Like, it's ridiculous how uncharismatic that guy is. You know, other than that, like, I didn't see, like, the, you know, the minor stuff, like, you know, as far as Japan goes, like, it's New Japan is pretty much all I have time for. So I do follow this other stuff, but I don't necessarily watch it all.
Yeah.
The report about not all the contracts expire in January is funny, because I feel like the last 3 weeks, all I've been hearing about is all these different contracts that are expiring. And Yota Tsuji went out of his way to point out why people leave. And he, you know, which is funny, because he's, you know, he's about to challenge for the world title in Japan. And he's basically saying, like, New Japan doesn't pay their stars enough, and that's why they're all going to the United States. And he says, I don't want to go to the United States. I hate AEW. And I want to stay here, but they need to pay everybody at least 10 million yen, or we're not going to stick around. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. You know, don't hold anything back, Yoda. And yeah, so that was interesting. Somebody, actually, it was Jeremy and his partner Steve, the show they do, Speaking of Strong Style, one of their last shows was entitled, you know, New Japan heading is like the Titanic heading towards the iceberg. Like, they are going just fine. They sold 50,000 tickets, but what happens when they hit that iceberg? Because I don't know what's going to happen after Tanahashi leaves. Like, they're not set up very well for the future. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And with everybody leaving, it's dire straits in Japan. And obviously, you know, Stardom's doing really well, but on a scale, like, they're not AEW or WWE. Like, they're doing real well for a Japanese indie, but they're not like Sayu Kamatani had a great year, but they're not like game changers in Japan for sure.
It's just crazy, because you're saying, if everyone just thinks to the boom period for them and how influential it was, and to see kind of what's happened and so on. And people, you know, in this series, people that watch Japanese wrestling more than me, and I'm sure you've heard that, you know, they talk about how there's heat on AEW, because they feel like they're raiding all these talents. I don't think, from my perspective, I don't think they're raiding them as much as these talents want to make money elsewhere and, mm-hmm. get in the United States and get in front of big viewers and kind of get in the mix of this, I don't say this wrestling war, but this more attention. There's just more attention, more high profile shows and all that. I don't, you know, and again, they're a partner. New Japan's a partner of AEW. I think they understand kind of what's going on. I don't think Tony Khan is trying to deflate them on purpose, but it's not like he's putting a gun to their head and saying, you have to sign this contract or else. Like,
right.
They want to come here, and they don't take every single person, but yeah, they're big stars. I mean, you know, if Zack Sabre Jr. is ever like, I want to go to the United States, he's got a home in AEW. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'm sure WWE might try for a push just for the hell of it, but he seems to have seemed to be an ideal fit if they're, but that's the thing. They have these big stars and they can't pay him to stay, or they don't want him. And it's so weird that they hold accountable, or they try to hold accountable a promotion that is just existing and trying to load up their talent as much as they can, and not saying, why is the situation so bad in this company where people are leaving their home country and wanting to go elsewhere? It's kind of interesting how that works.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not just AEW, because I even saw where WWE is apparently interested in the Knockout Brothers. And that's like, okay, we got a problem now. Mm-hmm. Like, if you got guys at that level that are looking at leaving for the States, you know, like they've really got to change what they're doing and pay people and choose a core group that don't do these 1 year contracts. You got to sign them for 5 years and build around them and hope for the best. And right now they're just, they can't be a feeder system to the big North American companies. It's just, I don't think it's a long-term sustainable business plan.
Yeah. Let's go to NXTNA, which is the combination of all three of these companies because they're so intertwined, it's hard to really pull them apart. So we'll split this into two groups. Chris Jericho, I included him in this section. TNA looked like the second biggest company in the world at Bound for Glory, a comment that got lots of people talking, and it did exactly what he wanted to do. He's, I know people don't really, they kind of grow tired of him, whatever. He is so smart, and he knows everything he's done. He is just, he gets it, and people don't realize it, and they're going to years from now and be like, wow, it is absolutely fascinating what he's been able to do through his career. Just little things like this get people talking without him actually throwing like a sharp barb, which is kind of just one of the things. So Axiom and Javon Evans were set to make their AAA debuts in November. They did. And Javon earning a future AAA Cruiserweight Tag Team, or a title match rather. Desmond Xavier reunited with the Rascals at TNA Turning Point. Of course, the former Wesley and NXT done with that company, but essentially just moved over just to TNA, which is essentially the same thing. There was a lot of talk about the WWE NXT pay scale after this, a Priscilla Kelly, Gigi Dolan interview that she did. Brian Alvarez got some information. He talked about essentially that the pay was not as bad as she made out to be, and that, you know, this $30,000 is really like a lot of like ID talent and so on, and part of these deals. So it wasn't as bad as she made it out to be. Obafemi made his return, confronted Ricky Saints at the end of a NXT TV show, like right at the very end. I don't know if they got to barely show him or just a silhouette of him making his entrance. Ethan Page and Chelsea Green won the AAA mixed tag team titles. And at some point, a lot of people expect maybe Ethan Page gets on the main roster as part of this act, which is something 3-4 years ago probably would not expect it at all, but here we are. Indy Hartwell announced her engagement. The Lucha Brothers reunited, of all places, in AAA. A challenge was issued for AAA's Guerra de Titans. We'll go with that. And we'd see with that.
That's, of course, pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Look at me. JC Jane won the Women's Championship at NXT Gold Rush. Apollo Crews, remember him, made his in-ring return during AAA's TV tapings. The company announced, WWE announced a new AAA media rights deal with Fox Mexico. The CW addressed a quote-unquote inexplicable drop in the NXT ratings under the new Nielsen system, the only network to really kind of come out against this. And they also, one of their executive praised the NXT women's division. CW loves themselves some NXT, and why wouldn't they? Jake Something's TNA contract reportedly was up at the end of the year. John Cena appeared, Mr. Everywhere, to reveal the Iron Survivor Challenge competitors for NXT Deadline. TNA's Bound for Glory actual attendance in Livegate revealed, and it was not exactly, it was a little bit less than what they announced. And of course, they had some issues that saying, oh, we didn't count this, you didn't count this. So as always, they're leaning into more being like WWE and inflating those numbers. There's an update on Trick Williams following this NXT main event against Ricky Starks. And he took a bumper. He hit his head, I think it was on a barricade or something. He got whacked pretty good, but he ended up being okay. There's a little bit of concern about potential concussion, but he ended up being okay. One of the more inexplicable moves of the year, Frankie Kazarian winning the TNA world title on the first Live Impact after this month-long dark period. And he won the world title, which nobody understands at all and still don't. We'll see what happens. And then Rey Mysterio was announced for a AAA TV taping as well. Thoughts about any of that first chunk?
Oh, yeah, I do. All right. We talked a little about pay scale of NXT, so I won't get into that again. I did like the Ethan Page, Chelsea Green winning the AAA tag team mixed titles. That seemed like a no-brainer as soon as this whole affiliation was announced. And I low-key think like Ethan Page has probably been like the best signing that they've had in the last couple of years, like in terms of bang for your buck. Like obviously they brought in Ricky Saints and Mariah May to more fanfare, but Ethan Page was just kind of brought in like, yeah, we'll give him a shot. We'll see how he does. And he's just completely outkicked anybody's idea of what he was going to do. And good for him, because I've always liked him going back to TNA when he was first there. The CW talking about the NXT ratings. I'm glad you put this in there, because my thinking is, I feel like the old ratings were probably wrong. It never made a lot of sense to me that wrestling was like the most popular show on television. And now that like it's not, these numbers actually do make more sense to me than the old numbers did. And it's funny when you hear Dave talk like, oh, you know, it doesn't make any sense that, you know, their numbers would go down so much. And it's like, well, it does if you think they were too high to begin with.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and that's like, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. And if that's the case, then I think a lot of these companies are in for a rude awakening the next time their deals are up. But we'll see. But that's a huge story for 2026 and beyond. And then that TNA episode, that is the worst episode of television that I saw all year. And maybe in the last 5 years like that. And that's before the main event. Like that was just a really bad episode of television with the worst finish. Cause it wasn't just Kazarian winning the title. It was a bunch of guys from Evolve showing up and beating up Mike Santana. And then Kazarian cashing in a briefcase, like a Money in the Bank briefcase type deal that he shares with Nick Nemeth. And then originally they've been fighting over to try and cash it in, but apparently they each can cash in because Nick Nemeth is still walking around with this thing, right, even though Kazarian already cashed it. Like it made no sense. And then Kazarian has gone on to defend against Johnny Dangle Curtis and Bear Bronson, like just the murderer's row of title contenders here. And I think he's facing Mike Santana on the debut of TNA on
Thursday Night Impact, the AMC debut.
Thursday Night Impact, yeah. Is that in the next little thing or is that next month?
That's
but that is coming. Yeah.
They just announced it last night. They just announced it being Thursday.
Well, that match, yeah. But the actual signing with
AMC, that's for December, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so that is coming. And they announced it last night because I watched it. Because it was funny because I'd heard about it. And it's like, well, they've been promoting. So I don't know why they bothered promoting it for weeks that it was going to be at Genesis. And when in fact, it was never going to be at Genesis. Like, this is just TNA. Like, they are getting my award for worst promotion of the year. Like, I know people want to vote for WWE, but that's just stupid. And TNA was the worst promotion of the year. It's not even funny. Like, you know, in my opinion, like they did some good stuff, but they shat the bed so many times. You know, they had that big, huge card at Slammiversary, you know, like Mike Santana, hometown heroes, going to win the world title. Nope. Mm-hmm. it was, for me, and I watched it all and I just did not think they had a good year. So
let's do some more TNA. See if we get fired up. So TNA Turning Point happened, a show that just happens. Yeah. And this was right after, like the day after that title change. Yeah. And just I appreciate the fact they're trying to do these monthly specials. They don't need them all. Like the Victory Road one and this, it's just everything. It just seems like they just, let's just do a bunch of stuff. And I guess we have to do a TNA TV taping anyway. So they'll do the special. I don't know. It seems like, but it happened. The NXT and TNA storyline continued. Of course, this was the one where Mike Santana wasn't showing up to work. You remember this whole thing? And they put out to PW Insider, who picked it up. And John Pollock talked about it. They put out to Post Wrestling, and they were like, this is clearly not real, you know, like, and it's just this thing of like, oh, he's not returning texts and doing all this stuff. And it's just so dumb. So dumb.
And it was like done by the end of the show. He showed up at the end of the show.
Right.
So it was like all much ado about nothing, literally.
Yep. Exactly. Natalya was announced for a AAA match. The Rascals and Desmond Xavier. Desmond Xavier, I believe, is not a set contract, but essentially it could be, I think might be up now. The Rascals, the same thing. There's a lot of talk about, there's a lot of talents that their contracts were coming up or may not be coming up. There may be some short-term extensions, but TNA likes to do this. They don't like a lot of long-term deals. So who knows where these guys could appear? They're getting signed. Who knows? There's an update. We talked about the media rights deal. Again, it was just a thing about, oh, they're getting closer. And finally, they would announce it in December when it was supposed to be announced months ago. But that was all that. TNA final resolution, the final stream special for December, for the year, rather, add 7 new matches as that took shape. Of course, as you mentioned, JDC for getting the world title shot against Frankie Kazarian. WWE set to stream the AAA Alianza's CDMX, who knows if I pronounced that right, live on YouTube. We talked about that earlier. Malik Blade returned to action NXT after a lengthy absence due to an ACL tear. Aja Blanc got a brand new NXT name, Ilio Lafleur. TNA interested in Bear Bronson. Of course, they would sign him. He debuted in a battle royal and won that to win that world title shot we were just talking about. Fallon Henley won the women's speed title on night two of NXT Gold Rush. Also, Li Jing Li won the TNA Knockouts title on an NXT show, night two of Gold Rush. How about that? And then, of course, a former WWE prospect. Then Tyra Mae Steele was announced for a Reality of Wrestling, Sherry Martel Classic. Thoughts about any of that?
Not much. The Final Resolution actually ended up being a good show. They had that NXT versus TNA match that was actually really, really good. And they had a great angle at the end of it. So they set up some good stuff there. Malik Blade, I saw him on Evolve, and I'd been wondering where he was because they cut his former partner, Idris Enofe. But he was out injured. So he's back and hopefully he'll get another shot. I've yet to see Blanc. I saw him wrestle in, I think it was WXW, but I've yet to see him under his new name, Ilio Lafleur, but he's apparently doing really well. So I'm looking forward to that. Li Jing Li, that one might have been like one of my most shocking moments. I was not expecting her to win that belt when I was watching that show, and good for her. She's worked really hard, and her and Zaya Brookside are actually like one of the shining lights in TNA, the Angel Warriors. They're having like really good matches like most weeks, and really, really surprised. And I hope she's putting the work, and I don't know if she's trying to get back to WWE or maybe she's going to go somewhere else, but she, because TNA, nobody stays in TNA unless you're Eddie Edwards and Moose and Eric Young. If she does decide to stay, I mean, she's somebody they can build that division around. So good for her.
Do you think the hometown man will be the TNA world title holder? At least one TNA title run by the end of the year?
Maybe that digital media or whatever they call it now, the international
title.
Perhaps.
Exactly. They should
be Stacks.
That's right. They should start their own national title. Just have this nat.
That's what that title's called, actually. It's the nat, isn't it? Or no? They have the international. Yeah, they should do a national as well. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. We're here at WWE. There's a lot of WWE to get to, as there has been this entire year. A lot of news. We're the biggest company in the world. So let's get to Survivor Series, which had, of course, War Games matches, similar to Blood and Guts. It's interesting. Blood and Guts, November. Survivor Series War Games, also in November. How about that? AJ Lee forced, I believe it's Becky Lynch, maybe to tap, won the women's War Game match at Survivor Series. CM Punk, of course, before always a gentleman saying that the women's War Game match should main event Survivor Series. And I was going back, I'm like, this headline sounds familiar. What is this? And he actually said before WrestleMania that the women's title match should headline night one of WrestleMania. So I was like, well, what a guy. What a guy. Just always trying to say they should do this and this, but didn't really happen. John Cena competed in his final Survivor Series, losing the Intercontinental title, course, his final premium live event as well, and lost the title to Dominic Mysterio. Of course, that match featuring the return of Liv Morgan. She returned during this match and teased that she was going to turn and be done with Dominic Mysterio. And then everyone tried to make this big thing like, oh, she did the same look that John Cena did. It was the same exact thing. It's like, not really, but okay. And then, she ended up slapping Cena, hit him in the nuts and all that. And there was a lot of interference in this match from Judgment Day and so on. At the end of the day, John Cena losing. Guys, ovation and the John Cena PLE/pay-per-view era officially over. Again, Liv Morgan. And after Liv Morgan made her return, an updated WrestleMania 42 promo aired. Of course, earlier, I believe the week before or maybe 2 weeks before, they did their own WrestleMania, all the women around the table. And actually, it was a dinner table, not a poker table like it was for the men. And then they put up a new one that featured Liv Morgan. So there was that. A mystery man appeared during the men's War Games match to deliver a curb stomp to CM Punk, and Bron Breakker pinned him, of course, setting up eventually their world title match, which will be happening this Monday. And that Mr. Man would turn out to be, of course, Chris Jericho. God, Chris Jericho. That's right. Oh my God. Austin Theory. Austin, that's yeah. right. I know. Everyone's like, could it be this guy? It was a big guy too. It's like, well, it's definitely yeah. not Seth Rollins and all this stuff. No. But it turned out to be Austin Theory. Yeah, people, Chris Jericho, is it different people to throw people off and all this stuff. There was a story that came out before that the War Games entrance order for the men was causing quote unquote creative contention. And Triple H picked up on that, so I don't really know how legit that was. They may run another stadium show next year for Survivor Series. Of course, this took place at Petco Park in San Diego, where the Padres play. Bron Breakker took a nasty bump on his neck, but turned out to be fine after being checked out. Great attendance, a lot of influencer celebrities in the crowd. And Stephanie Kerr also is on the show, defeating Nikki Bella to retain her her women's title as well. And then Triple H announced that there was going to be a charity tribute to Ozzy Osbourne for using War Pigs as the entrance for this song. Of course, Ozzy Osbourne and WWE kind of united, despite Becky Lynch making a comment about Ozzy Osbourne that his daughter didn't like, but those things happened. Yeah. Thoughts about any of that?
I don't have much to say about this show. I mean, obviously, it was very successful. It was, it was a fine watch. It didn't light my world on fire. I thought my friends Keela Cash and Scott Young, who do a WWE podcast, had the best description of this show. Could have been an email. That's their description of this one, and they're usually pretty positive on WWE. So, it was there. Nothing super bad, nothing you needed to see. And, we moved on. I mean, really the thing is everything seemed to be building to the, Saturday Night's main event on December 13th. So this was, if anything, it was a setup for that. And, we got 42,000 people. I mean, I will say the people that were there seemed happy. And me watching at home in Canada, mind you, where I can watch on Netflix for free, I was perfectly happy. If I was in the United States and paid $30 for this show, I would not be happy.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Yep. That'll be a big story, I think, is when ESPN finally gets clearance with some of these major characters like YouTube and Xfinity and so on. But still, still a long time to go, I'm sure, before that happens. Of course, they're now between now and WrestleMania. WrestleMania is really the thing that they have to have that done by. So they have a few months away to figure that out. Let's go to this first chunk of stuff here, because there's a lot to get through. AJ Lee helped Maxine Dupri win the Women's Intercontinental title on Raw. I assume they're weighing the AJ Lee Becky Lynch match. They're going to wait till Mania, I'm guessing, probably, right?
Yeah, maybe the Rumble.
Could do the
Rumble. Lee, AJ. Yeah. AJ and Becky. Yeah, for sure. Mania. Yeah.
TKO announced their revenue for WWE and UFC for Q3. Big surprise. They made a lot of money. UFC, actually, this quarter, they didn't make a lot of money, right? The WWE made more, if I remember right, than UFC during this quarter.
Because of the payouts that I think that they did for the lawsuit.
And I think it was one less numbered show. There was a few different reasons before that. Yeah. But UFC definitely not going out of business anytime soon. I guess we can confirm that.
No, Dana's fine.
That's right.
Dana's good for money.
Good. Nick Khan bullish on ticket pricing. That means bad news for fans. AJ Lee, I had not heard this at all till I was going through these headlines. There was she appeared at this the big event, which is this huge convention deal they have every year. And AJ Lee, there was a fan video. She did a meet and greet, and a fan actually turned into an AI video showing where it looked like AJ Lee was kissing him. It just seems seamless, and it's completely scary about how'd this happen. She said it's inappropriate and harassment. The convention had to issue a statement. So we'll see how these things turn out in the future and whether that prevents certain videos from being, I don't know. It's kind of this AI world that we've just kind of just go full into, where a lot of people are like, we don't like this. And everyone's like, well, too bad. And stuff like this happens. And it's really, really weird. But yeah, we'll see what happens in the future. AJ Styles explained his strange Raw worked shoot off-air promo for September, where essentially, I had to look back at this. He was talking like there was some authority figure that was he wanted to do some things and he was being prevented from doing this. And he actually addressed it in an interview and he said, yeah, that led to something. It wasn't supposed to be Triple H, but it was leading to something that we're not going to end up doing. So it was just for absolutely nothing, this weird promo for September. Becky Lynch celebrated the 20th anniversary of Special, what she called a special indie promotion, Shimmer. Speaking of people signed and have disappeared, Santos Escobar, there's no clue when he's actually going to make his return after he became a free agent for about, 6 hours And then they re-signed him for apparently a good amount of money. And he hasn't been around at all. So who knows what's going to happen there. Becky Lynch said a male WWE wrestler would quote-unquote blacklist women after making advances. And this guy made the news a little bit, but there was no specific names. Dave said he had suspicions, but he obviously couldn't say out loud who they are or things like this. So that was a quote that was certainly out there. First, a few interesting quotes this year about male wrestlers causing issues backstage. And there was a one I keep bringing up about Marie Shafir in AEW, and she was Ring of Honor show.
Yeah, it was Jake Hager, right?
I don't think anyone ever confirmed it if that was the case, but boy, the way that she described it and the fact the person's not there, it would be a surprise if it wasn't, especially someone that was kind of squaring up, like he's a former MMA fighter. I don't know, just unconfirmed. But I think a lot of people are like, that seems to track. Bianca Belair is hoping to be back in the ring soon, but a missed year for her due to a broken knuckle and all that. TKO announced a partnership with DoorDash, both for the UFC and WWE. Liv Morgan attended the Stranger Things world premiere. Ric Flair talking about Hulk Hogan's death. Well, killed him with street drugs. He had to try to walk this back after. And this whole thing, Cam Scatabo of the New York Giants. I did not have this in my bingo card for a controversy this year. He appeared, he was at ringside with some teammates. And of course, he had just fractured his ankle, I believe, or torn ligament, something like that, where essentially he shouldn't be doing anything physical. And he kind of got physical during this brawl. And this was all over the place. And the Giants, his coach, saying he thought it was a cool thing. Of course, the Giants have had a terrible season. He responded to criticism, essentially saying, I'm going to do what I want to do and all this. And I mean, he was having a great rookie season going into this and the injury. If this was a player like the Patriots, one of my teams, I'd have a big like red flag about this of like, what's your commitment level? And you got to be careful with some of this stuff. And and also the perception, I have just been like, I'm just going to do whatever I want. If I'm the Giants, I'm like, okay, we'll see how this works out, but I don't know, we'll see. Chavo Guerrero, the guy that will never go away in pro wrestling, confirmed his re-signing with WWE and his role with AAA. Chelsea Green won the Women's United States title on SmackDown. CJ Perry provided an update on her in-ring career and retirement status that she's keeping her options open. She never know, but at this point, she would be more of a manager than she would be in-ring. And CM Punk was featured in the trailer for his horror film Night Patrol that I believe comes out this month. Thoughts about any of that?
Not a ton. Obviously, that AJ Lee story is interesting. I'm probably going to look into that more when we're done here, because I hadn't seen anything about that. Liv Morgan at the Stranger Things world premiere is interesting. I hadn't seen that at the time, but knowing now that they're doing cross promotion for the Raw premiere next month, or next month, next week.
On Monday.
Three days from now. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's interesting. I didn't know Chavo Guerrero had re-signed, so I'm hearing that for the first time here. So that's cool. And obviously, pretty big asset for them with AAA. And then Chelsea winning the Women's United States title, it's just like reminded me that Julia still works for the company. I that is like as big a success as Ethan Page was. I feel like they dropped the ball with Julia. But I mean, we're still, you know, she's got a long way to go. I'm not like given up on her or anything, but it sure feels like they could have done a lot more with her.
Well, it's the parallel between her and Stephanie Vaquer, right? I mean,
right. Yeah.
Vaquer has come in and they've really, really got behind her. And Julia, I talked about earlier in the series. It's interesting that she came in everyone was just kind of like, wow, this is going to be huge. And it still could be, but the way they kind of introduced her is just this real slow roll. And you don't hear people talking about her, and she doesn't get these big spots like Vaquer does. And I wonder why that is. It's just kind of interesting how that works.
It may be as simple as being on SmackDown, because I feel like SmackDown is a cold, I don't want to say dead, but closer to dead than alive brand. Like, it's just nothing happens on that show.
Yeah.
And she's stuck there with Kiana James, whereas Stephanie is on the hot show and wrestling with people that are over. And it may be that simple.
Yeah, could be. This was the month of Ridge Holland. The company ended his contract early. We learned about that. And he started doing a podcast, or he did an episode of a podcast, rather, he appeared. I can't remember whose it was, but he said he felt he was Blame for Big E's injury by certain members in the WWE hierarchy. Say he felt hung out to dry by WWE after his contract was not renewed while he was injured. Of course, he had the Liz Frank injury. Then he also needed neck surgery as well. He took what he called a huge pay cut in his last WWE deal, which that was, of course, he went down to the NXT money. And I think as David talked about on Wrestling Observer Radio, it wasn't like he was going down like 50 grand. He was still
I did the math, and I determined it was 185,000 is what he was making in NXT, which is at least double what most of the people there make.
Right, right. And he released a GoFundMe launch, but wasn't aware of it. A family member started, so he said he was going to donate the money after he had the money to give away to donate or something like that. He underwent neck surgery, had his recovery timeline, and he said his home foreclosure notice led to his airing of grievances on Twitter. And it was one of these things where you feel bad in a lot of aspects, but the sentiment, again, I keep referring back to Wrestling Observer Radio because they were talking about this, essentially that he was kind of told, like, we're probably not going to be re-signed and start financially being smart planning ahead. And the fact it just went so, all of a sudden he went from making this money to all of a sudden his home being foreclosed on. You feel bad. Obviously he's got, you know, kids and everything, but there's a responsibility of like, where'd all the money go, right? I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things of, yeah, there's a responsibility where you have to have some way, and especially in wrestling where nothing is guaranteed, especially if you're not at the upper level. So I don't know. And he was making main roster money before too. So
yeah, like he probably made over $1 million while he was there. So
yeah. And living in Florida, you avoid those taxes and all that stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of that. Stephanie McMahon confirmed her new role for John Cena's final match, which was to be on the desk with Joe Tessitore. Has to be always involved in all the things. And she wanted to let people know about that. John Cena Day was declared in Massachusetts. He made his final appearances both in Boston at the TD Garden, which should have been the final spot for his retirement tour, not random Washington, D.C. Made appearance, of course, Madison Square Garden. During that Boston Raw, he, of course, had won the Intercontinental title over Dom Mysterio, which led to the Survivor Series match. He revealed the last time is now tournament to determine his final opponent. The participants were revealed. Zack Ryder, a.k.a. Matt Cardona, surprise appearance in the tournament. Not under a deal. He does have new merch. That's a temporary merch deal. He had been essentially begging to get back in the company all year. Finally got his opportunity. Solo Sikoa, a surprise opponent, that being Dolph Ziggler. Not Nick Nemeth, but Dolph Ziggler. Because in WWE canon, you have to go by your old name. And after Nemeth said it, the match was almost announced in advance, but they decided to keep it a surprise. Sheamus was in the tournament, and he was pulled after sustaining an injury, and The Miz replaced him. And then this Penta match against Solo Sikoa was stopped on Raw due to an injury, and Solo Sikoa was supposed to win the match anyway. And so that happened. John Cena spoke, again, the World Tour, spoke to the Dungeon trainees at Natty School, Natty and TJ School. John Cena very likely to be a Hall of Famer headliner for this coming WrestleMania, which I assume is a lock, especially in Saudi Arabia where they're paying all this money. Actually, they're not this year. For Vegas, they're doing this, but
right.
He's going to be, I'm sure, that I wouldn't say the lock of all locks, but I think that's kind of the perfect way to cap this run. Again, winning the Intercontinental title, really fun moment on Raw. The Kabuki Warriors won the women's tag team titles on Raw, and then Kevin Owens shared a Performance Center workout video as he works to get back in the ring after having neck surgery. So hopefully see him at some point this year. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, so Ridge and Cena pretty much here. The Ridge thing, my opinion on that is, I mean, it sucks that he got injured, and really WWE could have kept paying him through the injury. Obviously, in the past, they would have done that, or probably. But given that it's TKO now, they don't tend to do that as much. And then him going and complaining about it publicly probably led to his early firing. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. I mean, it was 2 weeks. I think, you know, if you work it out, it probably costs him a couple grand, which when you're jobless, that's a lot of money. And your house is about to be foreclosed, but you know, TKO doesn't really have a heart. So, unfortunately, I do find it funny that Zack Ryder, the thing is like Dolph Ziggler, that one for me, like I could see Dolph Ziggler, but Zack Ryder, I feel like he probably would have got a bigger reaction if he was brought in as Matt Cardona. Mm. I think he's better known as Matt Cardona these days. Dolph Ziggler was a close to main event guy for a long, long time in WWE. So I can see them making him come back under that name, but it did surprise me. Zack Ryder, that just seemed like an ego thing. And Miz going in the tournament twice was two times too many, in my opinion. But, you know, bit of a running gag and got him on the final show in some fashion. So that was cool too, I guess, for him, not for me having to watch it. Yeah, other than that, you know, pretty standard stuff. I did like to see Cena giving advice to the people at the dungeon, and he does seem to be wanting to give back. So that's cool.
Saturday night's main event. This happened in Salt Lake City. Of course, we crowned the brand new WWE World Heavyweight Champion after Seth Rollins had to relinquish the title due to his real shoulder injury. CM Punk defeating Jey Uso to win the title. Both Triple H and Bruce Pritchard missed the show. Jade Cargill finally won the big one, the Women's Championship, on this show as well. And the company revealed the date and location for the January edition of Saturday night's main event, which is coming up rather shortly. Cody Rhodes says next contract will probably be his last. The first image of Becky Lynch from Star Trek's Starfleet Academy, the TV show, was released. A high school wrestling tournament is renamed to honor Bray Wyatt. Jasper Troy, of all people, won the Men's Speed Championship on WWE NXT. I guess I should put this in NXT section, but oh well. WWE.com revealed the short name for SmackDown star Zelina. Just Zelina from the Farewell to Vega. Just Zelina. Lillian Garcia announced she was getting engaged. Triple H hyped the brand new landscape in WWE starting on Raw. He loves doing these biggest night ever, or everything's going to change, new landscape and all that. Logan Paul made his return on Raw and sided with The Vision. Of course, be entered into that group. Rey Mysterio made his return, faced off with Dominic on an episode of Raw. The company confirmed that Skyler Ray was a brand new name for the LFG Season 2 winner. There's an update on Drew McIntyre's contract. It's set to be, he's under deal through 2028. Adam Pearce celebrated 30 years in pro wrestling. Eva Marie talks about a potential WWE comeback. Says she's always be interested in coming back. I don't know if they'd be that interested or if anyone would be that interested in seeing her. Naomi announced the gender of her and Jimmy Uso's baby. It's going to be a boy. Pat McAfee and his wife expecting their second child. Ray and Dominic and then Nia Jax were honored by the city of San Diego heading in to Survivor Series. And Andrade, yes, Andrade, working with WWE on getting out of his one-year non-compete, which would happen if it was the Beast Mortos representing him. You imagine those meetings would have been great. We can only dream. But thoughts about any of that?
I thought Saturday night's main event was a good show. You know, two world title matches. Again, you know, for a show you get to watch for free. We get to watch on YouTube up here, so I was totally fine with that. I wouldn't want to pay for it, but I was glad to see it. And I'm a big CM Punk fan, so I liked seeing him back with the world title. Skyler Ray, I was surprised because Skyler Ray sounds like a name they already had, but then I realized no, there's the Summer Ray.
Summer Ray.
And I think there might be another Skyler somewhere, but that was the former Danny Sekulski, who was the women's winner along with Shiloh Hill as the male winner. That dude. Oh my God. I was not aware Eva Marie was thinking about coming back. So best of luck to her. I hope Tony Khan hears it and signs her instead. No, I'm just kidding. You know, she probably better fit for WWE if she decides to go back, but yeah. I don't see it. Nothing else much there.
And the Saturday night's main event is heading to Montreal, Quebec, Canada on January 24th. Yes.
Maybe we'll get to see Kevin Owens return there.
There you go. I like that. Yeah. Nice tie-in, what we were talking about earlier. Next segment, or next section rather, The Rock says he never thought about his box office performance for The Smashing Machine. He's glad he said that, well, after the movie came out rather than before. So it's always good to know. Yane Harrison was signed as a new WWE ID prospect. Tribal Air, a trademark that WWE submitted a new filing on for
Jimmy and Naomi's new baby.
Yeah, could be. I like that. Line of baby wear, that'd be perfect. Lash Legend called up from NXT, formed an alliance with Nia Jax on SmackDown, officially on the main roster. WrestleMania 42, the site fee was revealed. WWE getting up to $6 million from Las Vegas, the tourism board there. Good money if you can get it. Mark Shapiro said he thinks WWE needs to be moving past the Vince McMahon created PLEs. This created a lot of chatter because that basically all the names were created by him. And I think he wasn't trying to replace the names of them, but that he really is big into WrestlePalooza. Like that's a big thing. He said, oh, we created this and all this. It's brand new franchise. And he wants to make these other monthly pay-per-views, PLEs, big enough where they can be franchised like that. In other words, people pay big site fees for them. That's what he's looking for. And just there's a lot of these comments that as a wrestling fan or as a WWE fan, I'd be worried because they don't care about wrestling like the fans do. And they don't have right. And I've talked about this in the series before, that if we can just put the bad Vince McMahon elements aside for just a second, he wouldn't have screwed over New Orleans and moved that Mania. He's still, as much as he hated the term pro wrestling, there were some things where like this, you don't move past this, the sanctity of the ring and the mat and all these things like that. And there's just some of these things these TKO guys say that it's not robber barons, but like you just really worry about the wrestling part of it. And it just feels soulless when they make kind of comments in certain things.
Yeah. Yeah,
and this was one of them. Yeah. Rapper Westside Gunn said he was done supporting WWE, cited poor treatment by them. I think it was just it had to do with I think he went to a show in Buffalo and he ended up getting kicked out of the show or something like that. And it was just kind of a weird thing. He said, I've done this for them. I went to this. I've done this. And he said he was done. So expect him in AEW anytime soon. Zoe Stark says she's aiming for a mid-2026 return. She recovers from basically her knee completely exploding. The Netflix edition of WWE 2K25 now available for pre-order. Nikki Bella turned against Stephanie Vaccaro on Raw, of course, setting up that match I talked about earlier. WWE Shop listed their top merch sellers of the year. Alphabetical, however, not by actual sales. So, and of course, it was just all the biggest stars, so not a ton of information there. Settlement was reached in the Cody Rhodes American Nightmare trademark lawsuit with the band of the same name. Both the CM Punk and Roman Reigns joined The Rock in doing some voice work in Zootopia 2. The company reached deals with the owners of Maple Leafs. This was MLSE for both the owners of the Toronto Maple Leafs and Toronto Raptors for Toronto events, merch, all this stuff. So, of course, how is this going to affect AEW? Because they've ran the Scotiabank Arena, they've run the Coca-Cola Coliseum before. And a statement from them said it will not affect AEW shows. We'll see how that actually plays out this year. The Rockstar production on Jumanji 3. The company announced Elimination Chamber is heading to Chicago this year. Joe Hendry, what a surprise, officially under WWE contract. And a report, which can be confirmed to be true, actually starting this week, I do believe. I don't know if it's tonight or actually next week, that SmackDown is moving back to 3 hours for this this strange 6 month deal of the year that USA and WB has. Very bizarre. Thoughts about any of that?
I do believe it is this week. So I will go back to skipping entrances and skipping everything that happens before the first commercial on SmackDown. It's the only way you can get through that show in a decent amount of time. Mm. Yeah, there's not much else there. You talked a little bit about the TKO and the soulless. That's kind of what I was going to bring up as well. So not much to add there. The Nikki Bella heel churn. I mean, I think I saw that from the first interaction they had, like way back when she first came back, like it just seemed clear that that was what was going to happen. I think I'm even going back in retrospect, I almost wonder if mispronouncing her name was not part of that, or if they just decided at that time that they were going to do, you know, play off of that because, it just seemed a little too convenient. I was wondering when I'd forgot about this deal with the Maple Leafs and the Raptors, with WWE, and I saw that picture of kind of randomly Tiffany Stratton at a Maple Leafs game last week. And I wonder if that has something to do with this, like if maybe they have deals where they're going to bring in stars to come to the games and, you know, act like they're fans. I don't know, because I've never seen anything to indicate that Tiffany Stratton was a hockey fan before this. although I think she is dating a guy from Toronto, so that may have something to do with it as
well.
Okay,
there you go.
Yeah, but she's from Minnesota, so you'd think like if she liked hockey at all, she'd probably be a Wild fan, but all she's ever shown is liking the Vikings and never once mentioned hockey. So, that was interesting. But, you know, good for them, I guess. And, Joe Hendry, nice to see that the guy that's been on every episode of NXT for the last 6 months has a contract now.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, that's like an AEW signing. Does that mean we're not going to see him anymore now? I don't think so.
I think we're going to see a lot of him on TV in 2026, that's for sure.
Say his name.
And SmackDown, yeah. He just appears behind you. That'd be so great. All right, the final chunk of WWE stuff. What a month for them. Mm-hmm. Randy Orton's potential return date was revealed. Looked to be potentially Rumble weekend in Saudi Arabia, either in the SmackDown before or the Rumble itself. Triple H visited the International Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. WB revealed the on-sale date for individual WrestleMania 42 tickets. Shane McMahon attended John Cena's final Raw appearance at Madison Square Garden. Lainey Luck became the brand new Women's ID champion. Seth Rollins appeared at the NFL, or set to appear at the NFL's Christmas Day game, as he really, really, really is trying hard to become a football analyst, which is just, it's a thing. Chad Gable was set to be expected at the Performance Center this week as he recovers from his injury, and he'll be back at some point in 2026, I'm sure, and I think we'll be feuding with El Grande Americano in that group, so that should be pretty fun. The Rock set to be honored at the American Black Film Festival. The WWE launched a brand new Undertaker YouTube channel, really leaning into YouTube channels, and a lot of people seem to love it. WWE Vault and WCW Vault and all this stuff. The company, again, bunch of new college signees, three new ones coming to the Performance Center. They announced a new international tour date, their last house show before the Royal Rumble, heading to Brussels, Belgium. Carmelo Hayes and Kalani Jordan are set to be officially getting married at the end of 2026. AJ Lee revealed that she's co-writing an anime movie with her writing partner. Seth McMahon would completely support her daughters becoming WWE wrestlers. I think that's the worst idea. Get your kids as far away from this business as you can. It's just do it. Oh, history. Why did people not learn from history?
Ava?
Yes. Oh, man. WWE released a brand new WrestleMania-related teaser. We talked about this earlier with the women, and then the full promo video, and then the updated promo video with Liv Morgan. Exhibition matches. Yes, exhibition matches. This was termed between WWE and NXT talent. Was going to be set for the final Saturday Night's Main Event of the Year. Of course, John Cena's final match, and just the exhibition element was first kind of brought up. Was this is kind of what Cena wanted? That was a weird expression. I think everyone did. Seth Rollins says he's targeting WrestleMania season for his return. Brock Lesnar slipped on Raw, and Paul Heyman reacted to that. This was like people just loved watching this clip of him just falling ass over tea kettle, as they say, and getting right back up, and then just laughing. He put his hat on, I think, on Braun Breaker, and just kept went to the ring and started kicking ass. I mean, that's Brock Lesnar for you. Lacey Evans, remember her? Said that Becky Lynch no-sold and cried during their WWE feud. Trick Williams and Lash Legend announced their engagement. AJ Styles made a surprise appearance at the Southern Honor Wrestling Indie Show in Georgia to present a title belt. That must have been pretty cool to be part of. And then David Otunga, again, remember him, would absolutely be open to a WWE return, as would everybody, as long as that money trough is open. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, David Otunga and Eva Marie can tag up for the tag titles. Love it. There's a lot there. The Shane McMahon thing is funny because I didn't see him on camera. I don't think he was shown, but I did see Declan on camera. So it's funny that they showed Declan. They didn't identify Declan, but I did see him. Mm. But they did not show Shane. The new WWE Women's ID Champion crowned Lainey Luck. I had to Google it because I could have sworn that was the name of
Lacey Lane. Yes.
Yeah, AEW.
Yeah.
But no, she very different. And I've actually seen Lainey Luck because I do watch some indie wrestling as well. And definitely does not look anything like Lacey Lane, but the names are certainly similar. It's funny how she leaves WWE/NXT and the name AEW gives her sounds more like an NXT name than the one she had previously. Mm. Caden Carter. Congrats to Hayes and Jordan. I wonder, hopefully Jordan's on the main roster by then. I don't have much else to add there. I think we talked about everything. That's it.
Let's wrap things up with the Junk Drawer. This is the best of everything we did not talk about before. Isla Dawn set to make her MLW debut against Scarlett Bordeaux. The company revealed their location for their next Battle Riot event, Kissimmee, Florida. Company also announced they're relocating to Charleston, South Carolina, and as a result, announcing some schedule changes as they're going to become more of a Southern promotion. Essentially, relocating means that Court Bauer just wanted to move to Charleston, and so the company went with him, and that's what happened. They held this Don Gato tequila event. Of course, this is the tequila that is co-owned by Danny McBride, who's a famous actor and comedy star and all this, has yet to actually physically appear on an MLW show, which is just kind of one of those things, which is always kind of weird if you're really that invested. But
it's whatever. The guy behind that, like the Righteous Gemstones, and
he's in Eastbound and Down. He's a big part of that. Vice Principals is a really funny show he's in. Yep. That's not top. Yep. That was one of my favorite shows that year. Shotzi Blackheart was on the show. Priscilla Kelly, The Good Brothers, Killer Cross, Matt Riddle, and the like. The company also crowned their Opera Cup winner for the year, being Mystico, and leaning heavily in that CMLL relationship. The former Wesley set for his return to Pro Wrestling Revolver. The Good Brothers won the Crash tag team titles. Rikishi revealed he had emergency surgery for an abdominal issue. Deadlock Pro, this is sad to see, announcing they are done for now, or they're after last show they had in December, which there was a lot of indie promotions that closed up shop. Prestige, Deadlock. There's one other one that I'm now blanking on, but it was a big surprise, especially some of these promotions that are really, super hardcore fan base and really kind of get some national exposure. A lot of people watching on YouTube and there and so on, and just closing up. So scary times there. K&S WrestleFest claimed that Bill Goldberg walked out of a private autograph signing. The legendary broadcaster Bob Caudle passed away. Tori Wilson, welcome the birth of a new child. Wrestling photographer George Tejinos passed away. Orange Crush held a Superpower Slam benefit event for the neurodivergent community. Sting's son, Steve Borden, competed in his first ever singles match, leading to what would be his first ever AEW match as well, which happened in December. Adis Kogar won the world title at GCW Dream On, a show that also featured Gail Kim debuting and an angle with Joey Janela after those two. And also Brett Lauderdale, we're kind of going at it on X. And then how about that? She ends up in GCW. So you never know what's going to happen. Ron Simmons and JBL reunited at an independent wrestling show. The Headbangers set to have their final match in 2026. Everyone's doing retirement tours, Paul. Everyone is doing these tours. It'd be fine if they did the Headbangers final match and just had them kind of just go to all these places and all that. Vince Russo, I had to have this quote in here. Vince Russo, Violent J is the closest to a Vince McMahon I've ever worked with. Jimmy Hart's megaphone was stolen at a WrestleGate event. Joe Doering, battling a third brain tumor, GoFundMe is launched for him. Jushin Liger came out of retirement to answer a Joey Janela open challenge. This is at this WrestleCon event, not WrestleCon, but some big convention they have during Thanksgiving weekend every year in North Carolina. Marco Stunt was announced as an on-screen talent and a mentor from Memphis Wrestling. Mercedes Moné won a Malaysian-affiliated indie title at a House of Glory show. Brodito was announced for an indie match. Claudio Castagnoli won the CMLL World Heavyweight title. Brie Bella saying, there's definitely a last run left of me, quote-unquote, wherever it may be. El Paso, Texas celebrated Eddie Guerrero Day. Former WWE wrestler Ralph Mosca passed away at just the young age of 55.
No, there's no way that's right.
That can't be right.
No, so it's got to be 85.
Yeah, I'd say 55 is not is not that old.
No, because Ralph Mosca was a big star before I was born.
Yeah, it's like Dave talked about, like the CFL, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, he says 55, but there's no way that's right.
Yeah,
there's no way that's right.
It can't be right. We'll look that up and we'll correct the record on that. Tatanka sending his sons to train with Natalya and TJ Wilson. Mick Foley says he has a new lease on life with his improved health. Lex Luger shared a positive update amid his mobility recovery. I believe this is him. What was he doing? Was he doing pull-ups? Or he was doing something that, or he's putting up a Christmas tree. Basically, he's able now to get up out of his chair and walk around. He's doing something that he wasn't able to do like a year ago. So his body, thanks to DDP and so on, being big things there. Nick Hogan addressed a possible wrestling career, saying, you never know. Two men were arrested on murder charges following a former WWE developmental wrestler, Kevin Nichols, passing. He wrestled as Ivan Warsaw in NXT. And then Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia set to challenge for the CMLL tag team titles. And the Beast Mortos also set to challenge Gran Guerrero for the CMLL world title, an event that is far past. Thoughts about any of that?
First of all, I and probably you were thinking of Angelo Mosca. So Ralph Mosca definitely probably was 55. I have no idea who that guy is. That was my bad. There was a lot there, but not much to comment on, just going through it, because there was a couple things that caught my eye and I want to make sure I don't miss anything. Sting's son, that was cool. And the fact when he debuted in AEW, it was in Atlanta on the fifth anniversary of Sting's debut, which was kind of cool. But then they never even mentioned it. So it doesn't even matter. Atticus Koger is somebody that people should watch out for. I've seen a lot of him in GCW, and he's a great promo, hardcore wrestler. I think he could probably do pretty well in AEW, but I don't know if he'll ever want to go there. He seems like a pretty much of a free spirit, if that means anything. Brie Bella, I still expect her back in WWE. I think all it's going to take is for Tony Khan to flinch and pretend like he's interested, and then they'll give her a contract. Yuta and Garcia challenging for the CML tag team titles. I was happy to hear about that and see that. And I think those guys should be doing more. Like, they should be going out in indies. I think they got potential as being one of those teams that could get a lot of heat. Wheeler Yuta is probably the most hated guy in AEW right now. Mm. And they need to figure out a way to capitalize on that, because he's a good wrestler and he's developing a personality, and he should be more than just a guy that eats pins, in my opinion.
This should be, it's kind of the perfect scenario for what Ring of Honor should be. If you're not ready to push these guys on the quote unquote main roster, then get them running in Ring of Honor. You don't need to have year long title reigns, but give them like a 3-month run and end it, you know, do from big event to big event.
Well, they've
done
that with them. They both had the Pure title at one point. But
I think the Pure title people are just, they don't get it. People don't win when there's, I appreciate the fact it's still trying to be different and hold on this lineage, but you know, people just, they want simple, what does this mean? And when I saw the women's Pure title tournament, one of the quarterfinal matches or semifinal matches, right, was in Boston, and it was Yuka Sakazaki versus Serena Deeb, and Serena Deeb reached the ropes at the end, or had her foot on the ropes, and they still counted the pin. And you tell people in the crowd, and even myself, were kind of like, okay, did the referee screw up? Is this part of an angle?
They're out of rope breaks.
They never explained kind of what that meant, and that, you know, it's just a...
Well, did you hear, did you see the ROH pay-per-view? You probably didn't, right?
No.
So when John Moxley was on commentary, and they went over the rules, and they read all the rules, and Moxley just deadpans, he goes, "That's a lot of rules."
It is. Hilarious. Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but then as he's watching, he's actually getting into it. And then they mention the rope breaks, and he's like, oh, so now she can use the ropes. Like, he's actually figuring out the rules as they're going along. But meanwhile, the fans watching, they have no idea, like you said.
Yeah.
And I always often wondered about that. And sometimes I wonder if the wrestlers even know the rules. And clearly Serena Deeb did, but I'll bet you, like, I remember watching, I think it was Billy Starks and somebody else. And I'm like, I'm watching this. There's no way these people know the rules of this match. Like, zero chance. Obviously, Serena Deeb did. And Jonathan Gresham was one who used to use those rules perfectly. Like, he would set up moves and holds and stuff. And so you could really get into the match when you know that the match is being built around that rule set. But when it's just, oh, yeah, I'm out of rope breaks. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And there's... I think if you have, like, maybe it's just simply simplifying, or make that a bigger deal. And just, this is always, there should be a representative from the company or someone it's in the crowd getting reaction, being like, is there a way to better explain this? You know? And I think there is, but when you have so many rules and the rope break thing, yeah, I think it's so foreign to everyday wrestling. It just, you really have to go over it.
Yeah. In Tony's mind, he's like, the Pure rules have been in place for 20 years. Everybody knows them.
Yeah. I don't think so. Like, I don't think so.
No.
Well, Paul, you've been very generous with your time, as always.
Yeah. I always enjoy this.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Before you let you go, let's get some plugs out where people can, obviously they can read you at F4W online, wrestlingobserver.com, doing ratings posts whenever they, of course, they're now sporadic whenever they come out, and because the ratings now, it's all over the place, but obviously your podcast, go ahead and plug away.
Yeah. So the Dynamite show, we record every Wednesday about 20 minutes after Dynamite ends on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel, which is available for free. If you just want the audio, you can, all your major podcast platforms, just search for Fight Game Media and you can subscribe to the feed and you get our show as well as all the other shows on the network. It's, I think it's 4 or 5 shows every week and it's free. So you can listen along and join in if you want to join in on the chat. It's a lot of fun. I also do a show with Garrett Gonzalez most Mondays. And it's called The Takedown, where we just do a deep dive into one of the big news items from the week. And it's a lot of fun. So Garrett, sometimes it's stuff that he can't get to with Dave. So he'll come on with me and we'll do a show. So it's almost every week on Mondays. So you could, if you sign up for the feed, you'll get it in your catcher.
Good stuff. All right, Paul, thanks so much. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again in the future. Paul Fontaine, thanks so much.
No problem.